Let's talk about the future of the valley and also the implications for the east coast of Australia, the closure of Hazelwood. Hazelwood due to start shutting down tomorrow, in fact, should be all closed down by the end of next week. I'm joined now in the ABC studios by Tony Wood, Director of Energy Programs at the Grattan Institute. Tony, thanks very much for joining us.
Morning, Fran.
Tony, are we lucky that Hazelwood is closing down this week at the end of March and not, say, at the end of January when we might have been in peak energy use?
Well, look, Hazelwood is going to close down at some stage, and it's just an interesting question of where in the cycle that was going to happen. I don't think the particular timing was due to the summer. It was just exactly when Hazelwood owners decided they would close it down.
I suppose what I'm getting at is what will be the implication for the energy supply in the cities along the east coast when Hazelwood closes?
Well, Hazelwood, of the 9 power stations that have closed down in Australia, on the east coast of Australia, including South Australia, since about 2011, this will be the biggest. It represents about 13% of Victoria's electricity supply. And so it will have an impact. We've already seen an increase in electricity prices, and that some of that's flowed through to consumers. And we've already seen, this is a reduction in, I guess, the buffer between how much we need and how much we've got. We've still got enough power to get through the next couple of summers, but it will be tight and the operators have to make sure it's really well managed.
Well, how much power do we have in that buffer? Because on the front page of the Melbourne Age today, Victoria's energy security thrown into question, it says the state facing an unprecedented 72 days of possible power supply shortfalls over the next 2 years. That's according to the grid operator.
Well, the grid operator has a responsibility to identify when things might be tight, and that's what they do. There are things that can be done to fix that and address that tightness, that potential supply problems at certain times of the year if we have extreme weather. Their job is to ensure not just that we've got enough electricity, but just in case something goes wrong, we've got more than enough. And so they're concerned about that. They've identified, since the announcement of Hazelwood, at least several things that could be done to ensure that we don't run out of power this time next year over summer.
Identifying things that could be done is one thing. Getting them in place to do it is another. And as we've seen, we've had failures at government level, state and federal, I think, on that. It's not that we haven't seen gas shortages coming. It's not that perhaps South Australia could have not foreseen that 40% renewables in the grid was going to cause problems. Are our policymakers and our regulators getting things ready enough?
Well, one thing's going in the right direction. One's not moving much at all. The one that's not moving much at all is climate policy, because the underlying issue here is to get in place credible, stable climate policy that would drive the right sort of mix of investment. And that's not going very well. And we'll see how that works out this year as those pieces of review happen. But the market operator, I think, has learnt from the experience of South Australia. It was blackouts caused people to pay attention. And they're now starting to put in place different ways of managing the system.
So what you're saying is that when Hazelwood closes its doors next week, turns everything off next week, politicians, policymakers don't need to be nervous that even though if the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing, this generator, which can operate up to a quarter sometimes at peak times of the state's power, that base load, don't need to be nervous?
I would hope they are nervous, because if they're nervous, then they might actually make sure that things do. Be a plan ahead, make sure that the generators, which this last summer in some cases were not running when they could have been, but weren't necessary as it turned out, are actually all online, ready to go. You polished them all up, you've made sure they've been maintained properly, you've worked with the companies to ensure that there are no problems next year. And that's where the focus has to be. And I hope they are sufficiently nervous to really focus on ensuring that we don't have a problem next summer and the summer after.
But these are generators outside of Victoria. So Victoria becomes not a net energy exporter?
Over the year, the expectation is still that Victoria will be a net exporter, because it's the one state that's connected to 3 other states, South Australia, Tasmania and New South Wales. But there may very well be times when Victoria is importing power from another state, such as New South Wales. That's not a problem, provided the whole system's a balance, because it's a national system.
This week, the Prime Minister pointed that out. He described the Latrobe Valley as South Australia's extension cord, the backup that South Australia needs for its sun and wind power. So the national implications of Hazelwood, it's going to be politicians, not just in Victoria, nervous about this. Should South Australia be worried, given the problems it's had already?
Well, South Australia has been dependent upon, to some extent, the interconnector with Victoria. And it is critically important, not only that the states themselves are identifying opportunities within their states, as South Australia has found it necessary, but also that they work with the COAG Energy Council across states, that we don't end up becoming parochial, that we work together on this national system to ensure power flows when it needs to where it needs, where it's needed at peak times.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Tony Wood from the Grattan Institute. You mentioned prices. Prices have already jumped 8 or 9% in the 5 months since this closure was announced. Do you see more price rises occurring once it shuts down?
Well, I think a whole range of things causes prices to increase, and this will, in the short term, there will be price increases, and that provides sufficient cash flow for some of those other existing power stations to continue to run and be reasonably profitable in the short term.
Well, cash cows, we just heard them being called as. Are they cash cows?
Well, they're going to make some money for this period of time. For a long time, they weren't making money. So cash cows in terms of their shareholders and their investors is a good thing. And having the money to make sure the plants are maintained and operating is also a good thing. And so we are on a long journey from very cheap coal, as someone's already mentioned, to a different future. There will be costs involved, and that transition will not be trivial.
I'll come to that different future in a moment, but just on the if they are making money at the moment, and there's been a almost threefold rise in the wholesale price over the last year, we've talked, you know, in the past we thought the government might pay the companies to close down. There was cash for closure 4 years ago. Funny to think about that now. Do you think state government should be looking at cash for keeping open, that they should have intervened to keep Hazelwood open?
Well, there has been always, and this is true around the world, this problem of how do you ensure that the capacity that we need, whether we call it base load or peak load, whatever, how do we ensure the capacity we need is there when we need it? And often that means making sure that the financial arrangements provide the incentive for these power stations to keep operating. That was going quite well for a long time. Eventually, the sort of costs that Hazelwood was facing overcame those extra profits, and that's why they closed.
Just finally, this 40% target the state Victorian government has by 2025 for renewables, that's going to bring online 5,000 megawatts of new capacity. Is that going to threaten, in the relatively short term, the business model of the coal generators, and are they ready for that?
Well, inevitably it will, because more supply in a market where demand is actually falling still inevitably puts pressure on them. And that's what happened in the other states where we saw, you know, some of the gas-fired generators and coal-fired generators close for that reason. And I think it's very important that as Victoria, for good reason, pursues lower emissions through renewable energy, also now very much with its eyes open, ensures that it works again with the national system to ensure that we have the power we need, that we don't find the same thing happening in Victoria.
And we haven't even talked about an emissions intensity scheme yet. Tony Wood, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Tony Wood is the Director of the Energy Program at the Grattan Institute. And after 7:30 this morning, we'll keep talking power with the Victorian Premier, Dan Andrews. Tomorrow, we're broadcasting from Morwell in the Latrobe Valley to gauge the reaction of the community to the closure of one of the Valley's biggest employers. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 9 minutes to 7.